I have a particular fondness for Matthew's genealogy. There is a rolling, lapping movement to these names when you can get your tongue around them that signify the passing of ages as God prepares the ground for the incarnation. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Azariah, Azariah was the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, Manasseh was the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah was the father of Jeconiah and his brothers. A rolling lapping of names, signifying the passing of ages and the preparing of the whole people of the world for the light of the incarnation. And within these names and the first set of names in the genealogy, of course, almost hidden the names of women. And women who have a particular role and place in scripture. Tamar, who made do nothing Judah do something about her place in the family. And that section is never read in church. But Tamar never hears the voice of God, but in some ways has to fulfill the plan of God on her own interior resources. We have Rahab being mentioned, the woman of Jericho, given a very bad reputation in the scriptures, but when one reads between the lines, one sees that her place in Jericho, what she has available in her house, most probably makes of her an important priestess within the civilization of Jericho, but whose heart is already turned to the ways of the Lord and away from the ways of her past. We have Ruth from a nation known as the enemies of Israel and Judah, the people of Moab, and yet she is the grandmother of David, a woman who hears the voice of God interiorly, because in the book of Ruth in scripture, God's voice is never heard. Yet the woman, Ruth and Naomi, constantly bring about God's will in their words, their actions, and their relationships. Ah, and then there's poor old Bathsheba, whose name can't even be mentioned by Matthew, because he most probably belongs to a stream of the tradition that hasn't quite sanitized her as much as she is sanitized in the scripture, and sees Rahab not simply as victim, but also as instigator, instigator of David's sin, so that in her future plan she could be the powerful queen dowager ruling over her son, which scripture does give us an indication of having happened. And then there is Mary, in Matthew's gospel, associated with these powerful women to whom God is silent and through whom God is working, sometimes even despite their own personalities, like Bathsheba's other reputation. But Matthew follows a tradition which starts in the scriptures that after the patriarchal and matriarchal age, God's voice falls silent in the ears of women. And when I taught the scriptures, I always put it in this way, that God's voice falls silent to the ears of women because he no longer has to speak to them. God constantly has to speak to men because we do not listen. But women have this intuition that scripture acknowledges, in that God's voice falls silent to them, but speaks through them, as we find with the prophetess Huldah in 2 Kings 22. We don't hear God speaking to her, but God speaks through her to the people of Israel and Judah, confirming the book that is found in the temple. And so in Matthew's Gospel there is no angel, there is no revelation to Mary, but there is the quiet knowledge that what is inside of her has been given by the Holy Spirit. It is poor Joseph who has to have the angel battering him about, making him understand what's going on. But Mary has the intuition of all the great Jewish mothers of what God is doing for her and through her. And she can appear with a certain authority that comes from her silence, the authority of her role in God's plan, the authority of her relationship with God. And so when we celebrate the birth of Our Lady, we also need to celebrate this silent voice of God, available now to all humanity, and asking us to turn inward and turn towards the Scriptures to once again appreciate how, like the gentle lapping of the waves through the genealogy, He prepares the ground within us that we too may realize that the faith we carry is given by the Holy Spirit, and that we too, by our rebirth in baptism, a privilege that Mary shared from the very moment of her existence and came into the world whole in the grace of God, we who have been made whole by the grace of God through our baptism have received through the ages before us the gentle lapping of God preparing our ground so that we might have faith and bear Christ into the world as Mary did. Amen.